Pastor and Mrs. Fisk, my daughter and her husband are singer-songwriters who pre-COVID were very active in promoting and performing in contemporary worship. The region here is very conservative and resistant to change, and there has been a lot of pushback against using Hillsong and Bethel-style music. However, that has not stopped the efforts to promote its inclusion. Two of the reasons used to explain this emphasis is that worship must be relevant to the young people to attract and keep them in the church. And secondly, that the experience of becoming lost in the music prepares the hearers' hearts for reception of the Holy Spirit. Ooh. My question is, how does this differ from the means of grace that you speak of regarding baptism, the Lord's Supper, and preaching of the word? Yeah. Praise and worship is the sacrament of the sacramentarians, which is why Lutherans who adopt it don't know what they're doing. It's not that a great song about Jesus is bad. It's that as you pray, so you will believe. And if you sing songs written by people who believe there is no Lord's Supper and that the heart only can work after the music has opened the way for the Holy Spirit, then you don't believe the Holy Spirit converts people. You believe the music does. And that's called idolatry. And that's why I'm against it. Yeah. Even though I'll raise an hallelujah. And if you know that song, it's Bethel. It's a great song. I won't put it in the service. nor would I want you to learn from those who wrote it. So there needs to be a distinction between, like, oh, I like that song, and this is what the church needs, and without this, Christians can't exist and believe, which is the next level of the idolatry. So it's from the Holy Spirit needs this to work to the young people won't be Christians if we don't have this. Okay. Since the Bible doesn't say that music is required for salvation, we shouldn't say that, right? Which is what they're saying. And this is why anyone who's faithful ought to push back on these ideas, because it is idolatry. It's a golden cow. It's not that the guitar is a problem. It's why you want to worship the guitar that's the problem, right? Okay, so how is it different? It's not different. They're replacing the Lord's Supper with the rock and roll. And because that's what they're doing as a movement, Lutherans are like, well, we'll do both. Good luck. You won't. You won't. She goes on, or he, I've listened enough to have this pretty much worked out of myself, but my concern is that if I ever spoke of the means of grace to them, they would counter with what's the difference then. I'm not sure they would understand anything about what you would say about the means of grace. That's it. They're ignorant of the grace, actually. I'm sure you have plowed this field before, but any comments would be appreciated. So, well, what I got for you, what came to my head was Galatians in general. And so looking at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I'm going to kind of pile through a little bit of Galatians here. What they're missing is the grace, right? What they're doing is they're saying Jesus plus equals salvation. And anytime you say Jesus plus blank equals salvation, that means salvation is that thing minus Jesus, okay? Does that make sense? That's how you rectify the equation. There's an old WeTV video about this. You end up, maybe it's in the book Broken, I think. So whatever you got to add to the Word of God to make the Word of God work, that's your idol. Mm-hmm. And because you, once you've done that, it means you're not under grace anymore. You don't believe in grace anymore. Now, does that mean on the last day, your words are going to condemn you and there'll be no He is risen? No, that's a one-on-one thing. Jesus decides that, right? I'm talking about movements right now. I'm talking about the spirit of false teaching right now, right? And what you want to do is reject any teaching that comes in and says, without this, the church can't survive. Like, liar. Liar. Now watch it. It'll survive. And just to put the lie to it, oh my goodness, the young people don't need your crappy rock and roll from the 70s to want to come to church. They really don't. They're kind of sick of it, frankly. The ones that I see, most of the young people that I deal with, when you teach them the liturgy so they know what's going on, they're really glad to have somewhere on this planet that isn't crazy. They're really glad to have somewhere on this planet that isn't always changing. They like to have something that is stable and old, and just like it was when they were kids.